Okay. Sure. Oh, I did. I shared it. Yeah, I shared it earlier.
Welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday night.
Thursday.
It is Thursday. I get it right every time now because we only do the
Thursday.
Show. I'm allowed to do that. We got a great show for you guys tonight. I'm stoked. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us. There's a lot going on today. School shooting in my home state.
Yeah.
The Epstein files, of course, kicking off. We got Superman in court flying over the court bench. That was a lot of fun. We'll definitely talk about that. There's a lot of crazy stuff. What was the other thing that we had to talk about tonight? There's more. I know there's more.
Oh, we got a lot more.
There's a lot more. We got a great guest for you tonight, too, as well, of course. Before we get too far into it, of course, go check out TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Scott Horton in the Wars bright red hoodie that you see me wearing tonight to make a statement by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, start, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link. We can get into a private Discord server, mostly run by Ryan these days. And eventually, I'm sure Top will pop in there and say, hey, we got some new gear. And you can get 30% off if you're in that chat. But Top hasn't done it in a while. If you're out there, Top, it's time, buddy. It's time.
It is.
It's time. Great show for you guys tonight. Before we get too far into all this stuff, let's check out my co-host, Mr. Ryan Kurtz. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I figured out the other thing we were going to talk about. I mean, we can make it pretty short. It was the director of the next Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about the new Star Wars stuff.
Set her goal with the next Star Wars film is to make men uncomfortable.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
You succeeded with the 8th movie. Yeah. Like,
any man that's
you already did it
was already uncomfortable at the prequels, the first three back in the 90s. I'm telling you. AJ, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing fantastic.
Yeah. I know you got a monologue.
Sorry, I glitched out there.
Huh?
Glitched out there for a minute.
You did.
I'm doing great. But yeah, a big news day in Iowa.
Big news.
Tragic news, sadly. But
the transgenders are out of the game.
If we weren't famous already today, we're going to be famous here in about 2 weeks.
Iowa. You know, it's like we passed constitutional carry. We've never had a school shooting in the state. And then all of a sudden we have one. And guess who it was?
We've had a school shooting.
Where?
Parkersburg.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, Parkersburg. It was the head coach of the football team. And I believe several students got killed in the weight room.
Oh, I didn't know about
that. This was around...
They must have had a losing season. Hey, they take their football very seriously in Iowa.
It wasn't a student. It was like a 35-year-old, very mentally ill man that came into the school.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought you said it was the I thought you said it was the football coach.
No. The target...
I do remember that now.
It was the target of this man.
That was an ex-student, correct?
What?
I think that was...
It was an ex-student.
Yeah.
But
it was an ex-student.
Yeah, because they... It was like 2007, they got hit by a major tornado, and then 2009. Yeah.
That's some old-ass beef.
Yeah. The reason I remember it so well is because a girl I had a huge crush on named Erin actually had a country album, and she sang about it.
We're just glad to hear that you had a crush on girls in high school, buddy.
I have a wife.
We know now. And, you know, lots of gay dudes have wives and babies and stuff like that. It's kind of, you know, it's how their little cover. So. He's speechless. We got him speechless for the second time ever on the show, dude. That was perfect. Guys, we got a great guest for you tonight. I'm stoked to have our good friend. Been on the show a million times already. He's the first time he was on the show, he came on as Ace, which is always hilarious to me. But our good friend Clint Russell from the Liberty Lockdown podcast, sir, how are you doing tonight? Oh, wait, you're muted. Now you're unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Clint Russell, thank you for having me, Josh.
Yeah,
good to see you guys again.
Yeah, good to see you, man. We appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy. It's It's always crazy to me, man, because, you know, we talked about this last time you were on the show, but I came on your show, was it 2020? And is when you were still,
maybe
you were basically still pretty much like anonymous online, and you didn't have the following you have today. And so back then it was like, you know, I felt like I was the bigger name at the time. And
you were doing me the favor.
Yeah. And now Clint does me the favor by coming on my show. Dude. It's great. I love it. I appreciate it, dude. I love watching my friends succeed. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool to me. I love it. Top's got a big clothing line, and Clint's out there doing awesome shows. And I got just great people doing good things that I appreciate. Clint, you're going to be in Georgia when I come there, buddy?
Probably.
For the Tower Gang Fest?
Yeah, no, I'm there for that. And I'll actually be in your home state next week, dude. I'm going to be embedded with the Vakes camp for 5 days.
Oh, geez. That'll be fun. Oh. Dude. Yeah. Well,
we should hang out.
Yeah, you should come by the house, because if you're in Des Moines, come by the house and we'll do a show live, dude. You can just come hang out on the couch. We got a full extra studio. So, and I know that
I'm doing shows every night while I'm out there, but, we'll make it work.
We could do a special show during the day or whatever. We'll figure it out.
Dude. Is he going to be with, on Tim?
Oh yeah, the Timcast.
Yeah, because Timcast is gonna be here. Now. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be on IRL. I think on Friday as well.
We need to get all of you guys in the studio together. That'd be sick. Yeah, because we have the full studio
Beanie
here.
Beanie Gang.
Yeah. But anyways, that'd be a lot of fun, man. Hey. So what's been going on with you, man? What have you been up to? You got a new show with Luke Radowski. You're doing some great things. What's going on with you?
Man, a lot. I'm doing a lot. We just started a show called The Best Political Show. You can check it out, thebestpoliticalshow.com, or it's all one word, We Are Change. We signed a deal with Rumble on November 1st, and we go live three nights a week, kind of scattershot whenever we can get a higher profile live, you know, guest in studio. And we're doing like six-figure viewership every episode. It's really amazing. You know, Rumble treats us right. They put us top left on the homepage, so every time we go live, we have a massive viewership, and it's surreal, man. I'm very, very grateful for what's happened. Obviously, Tower Gang's still doing their stupid shit, and I enjoy that a lot. And then Liberty Lockdown's still, you know, very successful as well. So on top of that, you know, I'm traveling a lot, doing speaking engagements and doing live interviews with Luke. You know, I never thought in a million years I'd be embedded with a presidential candidate that's like in the duopoly, much less. So, but life is very weird.
Yeah, it's really funny to me too. I when I started getting hit up for like speaking engagements, I was like, you want me to come and do a speaking engagement? You like want me to come and say things in front of a crowd of people? They're like, yeah, come on. And I'm like, all right. And then I started getting paid to do speaking engagements. Like people would start. Well, first it was like, we'll give you a stipend and airfare and a hotel. And I was like, holy shit, you guys are going to pay for me to like fly there? That's awesome. Heck, because before that, I would have to fly to places, right? And then they started paying you and you're like, this is pretty cool, dude. Like, I think, you know, and then I, like in 2018, I shut down the ballroom for Ron Paul at the Omaha Roads to Freedom Unconvention. And I was like a 45-minute keynote speech in the ballroom right before the dinner with Ron Paul. And I remember being up there going, there's no reason whatsoever for me to be up here at all. But whatever, that's cool. Thanks for bringing me out, guys. I appreciate it. Hey, man, so we got the Epstein logs. The Epstein court documents have been unredacted, except for three names, right, Ryan?
And I believe a couple of the names are the names of victims, and then one, I believe, is the name of a perpetrator. In the rumor mill around that, it is a former Israeli prime minister.
Shocking.
But that is just rumor mill. Yeah. I haven't seen anything.
Came straight out of Twitter and 4chan for sure.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Ehud Barak is who people are claiming. I have no idea if it's true or not.
That would be absolutely insane if that was the truth, dude. That would be, I mean,
it'd be about as predictable as I could imagine. I mean, like, don't we all kind of think that Epstein was a Mossad asset?
Well, I think it's the truth. I don't think it's just that we think it is. Right. I don't think it's like, I don't even think that's a conspiracy theory at this point. I think him and Ghislaine Maxwell both were working with Mossad. So I don't think it's even a conspiracy theory to point that out at this point. I think it's just the truth. I think people are just aware of it. You know what I mean? What do you think, Ryan? Come on, dude.
That's not anything
say
I know.
Say something bad about the Zionists, buddy. It's okay. You
that's
can do
not
it.
Anything I know about. I could not define Mossad for you.
You couldn't define Mossad?
No, I
Jeez,
couldn't.
Jeez, dude. What a baby. What a baby. Clint can. Clint,
I
Clint
try
what's
and...
Mossad?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Basically the Israeli CIA.
Yes, the Israeli CIA. Okay. That's exactly what it is.
It's Hebrew for CIA.
It's Hebrew for CIA.
Mossad is Hebrew for CIA.
Yeah, it is.
I think he's making that up, but it might as well be the case. So
even if he isn't making it up, we're going to say that from now on. And hey, listen, community notes.
We have Mossad in chat saying lies.
Oh shit! There's
Mossad watches Tower Gang every week. They're very concerning. Oh, I don't like it.
That's great.
They were the ones that shut down our internet the last time.
Probably
Clint was on.
Last time Clint was on, they shut down the internet as soon as we started talking about Israel. Do you remember that, Clint?
I do. Yep. And my internet's been out all day in Miami, as if they knew this was going to happen again. Yeah. So
well, fuck
this is why I'm recording on my phone for the audience that doesn't know. I wouldn't normally do this to you guys.
This is why we have Starlink.
Let's see. State of Zeal, thanks for the $10 super chat. He said thanks to Josh and Clint for all your hard work. Keep it up. Yeah, appreciate you, man. Sure. I think Clint probably appreciates that too, man. On us, Ryan. Ryan came with notes about Epstein.
Yeah, I went full autist because these are a bunch of court documents that list a bunch of names.
I think he stayed up late and forgot to take his ADHD medicine.
Oh no! I took my ADHD medicine. I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't. This is the superpower it grants me, the ability to focus.
You better link this shit too. You better put a link.
Do you remember?
For
do you remember the one?
There is not just one link that I used. I was.
Is it linked to a Proton Mail account? And then it's linked to something else. And so Dead Man Switch.
Okay, so go ahead, Ryan.
The names that I was able to confirm that were there and involved in something. Prince Andrew.
Shocking.
Okay, we knew that one.
We knew that
one already. Alan Dershowitz.
We knew that one already.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
that's a new one.
That was the new one.
Yeah, that
was that new, though? Didn't we? I swear we saw him. I mean, we saw him on the flight logs, so we knew that he was part of it.
That was confirmed.
But we all assumed that the crippled dude wasn't banging kids. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That was confirmed through an email between Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell that said he participated in an underage orgy.
I think Steven probably likes to watch.
He was in the corner. He was in the corner in a tiger mask, just keeping it loose.
So
just looking at my crystal ball here.
At one point in his life, he could have participated. So it just depends on when that was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was a point in his life where he wasn't in the wheelchair.
Everybody be quiet. Everybody be quiet. Oh yeah. Touch me right there.
Oh, fuck, that's what I'm saying. That was terrible, but hilarious. That was almost as good. Have you watched the new Dave Chappelle special yet? Have you guys seen
it? No,
yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. But there's a scene in it where he's like, okay, I'm gonna do this joke. This joke. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes he doesn't. But this is my impersonation of the people that died on the Titanic, welcoming the people from the fucking. The submarine, the submersible.
Oh, okay.
he does the voice like he's underwater. It's hilarious, dude. It's the dumbest shit ever. He's like, welcome, join us. I don't know where it came from, dude. It was the most out of spot thing in the whole special, but it was perfect. And we just got one from Clint, so we appreciate that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we got a couple more. Former governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson.
So at least it wasn't Gary Johnson.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't.
He
wouldn't be able to find it on a map.
What?
Just like
Bill Richardson, my co-host Luke Radowski confronted Bill Richardson about having sex with men or some shit like that, underage men or boys, I guess you should say. I don't know how long ago, but he said I was talking to him about it yesterday, and he's like, this dude was sweating bullets, he was so nervous. So
yeah, I think sometimes we forget that Luke Radowski went with Berwick and actually broke into, trespassed on Epstein Island, bro.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, legitimately. What? Yeah, there's a whole video of it that they put out, I don't know, a couple years ago now.
Wait, Berwick?
To the best of my knowledge, he's the first journalist on the ground, on the island.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, after Epstein was arrested, Berwick and Luke Radowski and somebody else, too, I don't remember who else was with them, they hopped on, a little boat. They chartered a flight and hopped on a little boat and, took a boat to the island and ran around the island taking video and all that shit. It was pretty cool, dude. Like,
took some serious balls. Serious balls. Yeah. No,
that was actually the very first time I ever saw Luke's work, was that footage.
That might be the first time I ever saw it too.
And then I found out like a month ago, after I'd already been working with the dude for 4 months, I found out like a month ago that he was like one of the co-creators of Loose Change. I had no idea.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Luke's been at this forever, dude. It's crazy. He's a couple years younger than me, and he's been doing this for fucking ever. It's wild.
Yeah, Joe the OP says it was Luke's at Bohemian Grove moment. Yeah, totally. Totally. Because remember Alex Jones broke into Bohemian Grove? Fucking savage. All right, go ahead, Ryan. Keep going.
Hedge fund manager Glenn Dubin.
That's very shocking.
I've never heard of the guy before this. And then the other one I can confirm is that Epstein was heard saying, quote, "Clinton likes him young," in reference to Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Isn't anyone shot?
That it was Bill and not me.
yeah, not Clinton Russell. It was definitely.
Well, it could have been Hillary or Chelsea.
Well, I think okay. So we named the episode tonight. Clinton loves the children.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think there was ever any doubt in anybody's mind that Bill Clinton, because he was on the flight logs like what 50 times he wrote on the Lolita Express.
A ton. Yeah.
I mean, there was absolutely no doubt in our mind that Bill Clinton is an absolute sexual deviant to begin with. We knew that when he was in office.
Okay. He has a history.
Yeah, but he plays saxophone. But he plays saxophone.
Oh, that's his brother. That's not him. That's his brother.
New allegations that I, first time I've ever heard this, just dropped last night, was that Monica Lewinsky was actually an asset for Mossad as well. And that she was supposed to be getting compromise on Bill, which...
What a perfect Jewish chick spy.
That would be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, she's like picture perfect.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Wow.
Lewinsky. You don't got to look at her early life section on Wikipedia, dude. You already know. You got anything else over there?
Are you still running for president, Josh? You can't be saying early life shit like that.
Sure I can. What are you talking about? These people, dude, do you think... Listen to me. I've been very clear about my run for president, right? Like, I am not holding back. There is no reason for me to hold back whatsoever.
Clearly.
If I was going to hold back, like, why run? Why run?
Yeah.
Why even
do that? What's
the worst case scenario? That gets clipped and goes viral on Twitter? Oh, no.
Darn.
Dang, that might drive a bunch of traffic to the show.
I don't know if you've seen my campaign videos, Clint, but I literally made one about putting the COVID regime in Guantanamo Bay. So I literally don't care about these people. I hate them. I got in a conversation on Twitter the other day with a guy. I was going back and forth with this doctor who was saying it's child abuse to take your kids to a big event right now while COVID's circulating. Right. And some guy hopped in and he's like, "I've noticed that you're very mean to the people that you're responding to, and you're not really giving clarity and you're not really making arguments." And I said, "Look, you're like a slave driver to normal people, dude. Like, I don't want to argue with you. I hate you. We hate you. We don't dislike you. We're not here to try and change your mind anymore. We know your mind's not going to change. I hate you. I want you mocked out of my society entirely. Mocked out of society.
Afuera.
So I'm not nice to these people. I'm never going to be nice to you. If you're posting on Twitter about hey, everyone needs to wear a mask, I'm going to make fun of you. I'm going to make fun of your kids. I'm going to make fun of your parents. I'm going to make fun of everybody involved with you, because you know what, dude? You're driving this horrible thing that happened to me and my family and my friends and my community for 4 years. You're driving it. You're the driver. You're the one that's making it okay for the government to say, you know what, maybe we should start masking again in hospitals. Maybe we should start masking again in colleges. You're the reason why they're doing that. And so fuck you. I hate you. And so like, I'm not nice.
The problem is that we should have been doing that on, you know, April 16th of 2020.
right. I will say, as far as presidential candidates in the United States go, I'm the only one I know of with Twitter posts to verify that in March, April, May of 2020, I was already like chiding these people and saying, you know, these lockdowns and these mask mandates and all this stuff is bad and shouldn't be done. I'm the only person in the entire United States running for presidency today that I know of that has those tweets to prove that. And I've looked at even the other LP presidential candidates. I've even gone back and I've looked
COVID masks, vaccines, all this stuff like on their Twitter, and you can't find it. So
well, I wish that I hadn't had to dodge the Twitter censors, because you know I had a treasure trove of great content during that period. But I had to delete. I set a auto delete after 30 days for like the last 3 years before Elon bought it. I had them all getting deleted after 30 days. So
I remember that.
I have no history, unfortunately, but people that were following me back then, they know.
I remember. So, I mean, I think back, and me and you are the only two people I can remember that, like, as early as the beginning of 2020 were like already calling it the COVID regime. Like, you just, you knew, I don't know. Maybe because we're both from California and we both left California over this shit. You know what I mean? Like, we saw it, like, the writing on the wall very early because California.
Yes.
And I think that had a lot to do with it too, because I flew home from Illinois in March, like March 14th of 2020. I flew home and they were already shutting down the bars that day in the Bay Area. And I was all, oh, fuck, no, I'm out of here.
The only reason people even know my name is because I was one of those guys that was like, I was putting together these monster threads that were going viral when I had no following at all.
Right.
But I was just like, I was just hammering it. I was like, this is the end of freedom on earth. Like, we have to fight now.
Yep.
I'm grateful that, you know, the worst outcome didn't happen, that it didn't persist. It didn't immediately evolve into, you know, the health tracking apps and it didn't persist. But if it weren't for the obstinate minority, I think that we would absolutely still be living in that future. So I think that it's very important that people put their foot down, you know, earlier next time. So we don't have to have this last for years and destroy our economy and spiral us into inflation and everything else. And I mean, let's be honest, the psychological struggles that the young people are dealing with today are largely driven by that. People still don't talk about it nearly enough. And I'm just focused on the young people, but let's be honest, I think everybody's dealing with some level of, you know, trauma from those that, you know, 12 to 24 months when it was really, really vicious. So, it was a catastrophe. And this is why, you know, of all the campaign videos that you've put out, that was the one that I shared. Cause I was like, yes, put them all in Gitmo.
I remember cause I've shared my first one with Clint. I'm like, Clint, share this. And you know, I get throttled on Twitter a lot. I always have. Even my first campaign video got throttled hella hard on Twitter. We had pages with a million followers sharing it, and we're still only at like 415,000 views. So I know for a fact that got throttled. Yep. But I always send shit to people. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, if they're gonna share it, they're sharing it. If not, and I sent the COVID regime one, and I was like, I know Clint's gonna share this one. I already know, dude. We got a new one coming out too soon. That's gonna be really funny. About letting the schools have control of your kids. But anyways, what else you got over there, Ryan?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to just quick plug. Saturday, I got Dave Smith back on Liberty Lockdown, and Sunday, I have Tom Woods on the Best Political Show in studio in Miami.
Oh, nice. He doesn't
first
do
time,
that very often.
First time I've ever done anything in person with Tom, so that's going to be really cool moment, you know, bucket list item for me, and then I'm off to Iowa, so it's going
to
be nice. Well.
Yeah, we'll have to have you in studio when you're, or at least come over and have dinner or something, man, whatever. You can meet the fam.
For sure.
I had Tom on the show once in video. And then we did the after show, and I got him to say fuck in the after show. So if you want to hear Tom say the F word, you can always subscribe to the channel. Also, if you guys are here and you're not a subscriber of the YouTube, please hit that subscribe button right now. We are trying to rebuild the show after some time off for the babies and holidays and all that stuff. So hook us up. So Ryan, what do you think, man? I think that's a very small list of names compared to what is actually going on here.
Yes.
And I know that there's Hollywood actors and big time politicians from all around the world and royalty, obviously, monarchy. What else you got over there, dude?
I mean, with what was released, that's all I was able to confirm that was on the island and or received services. Like Michael Jackson was spotted on the island at one point, and that's about it. But like they're still pretty sparse because it's just like one or two witness testimonies, and
right,
that's the majority of it. And most of the names listed that appear in the documents, it's just like, was this person ever on the island? Nope. Was George Lucas ever there? Nope. Was Donald Trump ever there? Nope.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I've seen people on Twitter saying, well, now Trump's been named in these documents. And I'm like, it was them asking, has Donald Trump ever been there? And them saying, no, that was the only time he's mentioned in the documents. And they're using that as he's been mentioned in the documents.
Yeah, it's pretty exculpatory for Trump. But I mean, I think everybody who's not, you know, Trump derangement syndrome to the hilt already kind of understood that he had been an associate of Epstein back in the 90s. I think it was the early 2000s when they parted ways. And allegedly, this is definitely like hearsay. I don't know for a fact, but it has been reported that he basically kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago once it was rumored that Epstein was like hitting on underage, you know, girls at the club. So I think that Trump's not a good guy, but I think that he's like he's a scumbag with you know, full grown adult women.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have to, like, Trump's not the guy that's not his thing. And he doesn't drink, he doesn't party hard, like that's not really
his style.
You know?
Attention is his drug. He's
oh sure, pretty, no, I get it.
Like, I don't like to armchair psychologist, but he's probably a grandiose narcissist.
No, of course, but I'm just saying he doesn't have that vice.
Yeah.
So I think Epstein.
Well,
he's got
the sex vice. He got popped for having affairs and stuff like that. So he's still not a good guy, but he's not a degenerate to that level, and he's not a partier. But I had a guest, Mel Kay in studio a couple days ago or yesterday, and she actually worked at Mar-a-Lago, and she said that Trump like never leaves Mar-a-Lago. He's very concerned about you know, privacy, and he wants to always know who's around him. So this dude is like, he's super cautious. He's definitely not the type that's going to go put himself in a position where Epstein could get, you know, compromise on him. So it didn't happen.
That's contrary
to what the Krasenstein brothers would like us to believe. It didn't fucking happen.
Did you see someone made a fake?
Oh yeah, there's
page
been
of
a
the
number
Krasenstein
of funny,
brothers.
Funny the, fake no, ones.
That was the funniest
one. Themselves?
They only fucked each other. He's like, did you see were the Krasenstein brothers on the island? And then she's like, yes. And were they having sex with underage people? No. Well, then who were they having sex with? He said, well, only themselves. But they're brothers, and she's like, exactly.
Yeah. The fake Stephen Hawking one is really good. That he liked to see midgets try and solve math equations on a chalkboard that was too tall for them. I think that's like a Family Guy joke.
Gee, probably do.
And then
I wish
there was a fake one for Jimmy Kimmel as well.
Yeah.
And because Aaron Rodgers implied that Jimmy Kimmel was going to be on the Epstein list, and Jimmy Kimmel told Rodgers to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came out that I saw was Jimmy Kimmel, like fake correspondence, like with Jimmy Kimmel being on there, and people just spammed him with
it. Oh, God. I wish, you know, Jimmy has been freaking out about Epstein for a long time, dude. He didn't just start because of the Aaron Rodgers stuff. There were people who had saw his name on the flight logs and had already been calling him out. And he had already freaked out on his show about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like quite some time ago. So, you know, I think that he protests too much. Right. Like, and then the same with John Cusack too. I don't know if you guys are aware, but his name is listed several times on the Lolita Express logs. And he will not even respond to a single comment on Twitter about it. I'm blocked by John Cusack, by the way. Not that I care. Well, Cruel Summer was a great show in the 80s, great movie in the 80s. But
this is really bad news for me because you know, people are talking about Clinton being on it, and they're also talking about John Cusack, which people say I look like. So between those two,
I do see a little Cusack in you. You're like if Cusack did a round of fucking Cream in the Clear and bought a turbocharged vehicle. You know what I mean? Like that's. It's a way different kind of John Cusack for sure.
When I was younger, I used to get Edward Norton in American History X, but now that I'm old and out of shape, they're like, now you look like John Cusack.
I still see the Edward Norton.
Yeah,
sure.
I still see.
Yeah. Yeah, I still see you saying, this means not welcome.
Yeah, I'd greatly prefer to look like a Nazi than look like John Cusack.
Yeah, I'd rather look like a Nazi than look like John Cusack too, dude, for sure.
Unfortunately, Cusack Twitter. Oh my
dude,
god,
he's the
his
worst.
Tweets are horrible.
He's the worst. He has some of the worst things. The only people that are worse than him for sure that I know of are the Krasensteins. They're terrible, but they're not.
And Rob Reiner,
Rob Reiner, and Stephen King.
Yeah,
which always bugs me. I don't know.
Isn't it hard to tell if it's real or not? Isn't it getting hard to tell? I can't tell when I read all the everybody you just mentioned. When I read their tweets, I go, "This is not real, right?"
Yeah, it is. It is real. This is how stupid Hollywood people are, dude.
I'm gonna go more sinister with it, dude. I think it's high probability because, like, I'm not a Trump supporter at all. Never have been. I've been very critical of him, but I think that because he's not a pedophile, they didn't have compromise on him, and I think that is a huge driver of why the pedophile elites absolutely have lost their minds about Trump. Like they honestly think they their only protection, the only reason that they're not behind bars, is because they have their people are really running the justice system, and I don't think that they're wrong. So, you know, whether or not they're right that Trump would actually ever do anything to get these people locked up, I have serious doubts. But I think that's a huge driver of why these people are so deranged and why they call him a fascist. They're like, oh, he's gonna arrest everybody. It's like he didn't do shit in his first term. What are you so afraid of?
Zero.
And you're like, well, maybe Rob Reiner, he's been in Hollywood for a long time. Maybe he's got some fucking real tiny skeletons in his closet, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. And JC says Stephen King, speaking of underage orgies, he did write an underage orgy into it. Yeah.
Whoa.
And
I'm going to be honest.
It was a rape that had to be kept secret.
Google who John Cusack was.
Yeah, you're like 20, are you 25, 26?
I'm 28.
Oh, geez, dude.
Yeah, I'm almost 30, dude.
Listen, here's the thing about John Cusack.
But I'm also kind of media illiterate.
John Cusack was really fucking cool in the 80s, like huge, dude, in the 80s. One Cruel Summer was like literally one of the coolest movies when I was a kid.
He was in a bunch of great movies in the 90s, too. He just wasn't he also in the plane movie? Damn it, I can't remember the name of it.
Con Air. Yes. He was the cop in Con Air. Yeah. But there's a movie that John Cusack did, and I'm not going to remember the name of it.
Ryan's never seen Say Anything.
Say Anything was another great 80s movie. One of the best 80s
movies. I've seen Con Air.
Okay.
And then I might have watched Hot Tub Time Machine. Those might be the two movies that I've seen.
There's a movie that he was in where he was basically in an insane asylum, and he had multiple personalities living in his head. And the movie is literally his multiple personalities acting out all these crimes that are happening. And I can never remember the name of the movie. But it was like one of the best movies I've ever watched.
Isn't it like Room... It's like Room something. I think it's like Room 112 something. It's a great movie.
It's so fucking good, dude. Like I can't remember the name of it, but it's probably probably the best movies ever done, in my opinion.
If my internet was down, I could look it up on my iPad. But since I only have my phone,
Identity. Yeah. Yep, that's what it's called.
2003.
Yep, 2003. Yeah, it was a good, very good fucking movie. If you haven't seen it, but like it sucks because I grew up reading Stephen King too. Like my mom was a huge Stephen King fan, so I read like every Stephen King book. The Stand was huge when I was a kid, of course. I love The Shining. I really liked Stephen King's work, dude. So it's like a huge letdown for me to see how mentally unhinged this guy is. But I will say the best book in that genre I ever read was called Watchers, and it's Dean Koontz. So Dean Koontz is better than Stephen King. Fuck Stephen King. Cliff. What do you think about this Epstein? You think anything's going to come of this Epstein documents at all?
I mean, not now, that's for sure. But certainly not under the Biden administration, their DOJ. I think that there's a very, very minuscule chance that if Trump or Vivek get in there, that something happens. But I still don't have, I wouldn't bet on it. Like, I wouldn't bet that any of these people ever face justice. I think that what's more probable is that the American people, not the majority, but a minority, reach their tipping point and they ultimately become radicalized. I can't tell you how successful my abolition tweets of late have been. I've never had such positive reactions to my constant declarations. Like I did this lengthy one today where I just do like 20 bullet points of, you know, corruption and criminality that our government has been responsible for. And I even elaborated and I said, I could add 1,000 more bullet points to this and it wouldn't do it justice. And I said, this is why I'm a libertarian. This is why I'm an abolitionist. And people are, hardcore Republicans and, you know, moderates and all sorts of people across the, you can't expect to reform an institution that's responsible for covering up the rape of little kids. You can't expect that. You have to abolish it. So that, I think that's, this is our opportunity to do that. This is kind of our Malay moment without the hyperinflation. Like, we have the corruption example. Let's hit that really hard. Once we get into the dire inflation, or we have some sort of cascading defaults through the banking system and the financial situation is really bad, we hit that hard. You know, most people just don't listen to us and things until things are really, really bad. And this is an example of things being really, really bad.
Okay, you guys aren't going to believe this. You guys aren't going to believe this. I just got a notification that says the stream has disconnected, attempting to reconnect.
No fucking way.
Wow.
Dead serious.
Again?
My stream never goes down.
It's been JQ. It's been Jan 6.
It's still up here.
The Epstein list.
Is it still up?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was just a quick blip in Streamlabs.
Okay, forget I just said that.
There was a blip where it was loading for like 3 seconds.
Guys see what happened with Patrick Beck David this morning?
No.
No.
Bro, you guys got to go to his feed. We don't have to watch it, but for those that are watching right now, once we're done here, check out Patrick Beck David's Twitter account. He put out this video this morning. They're covering the Epstein release, and they've never had any issues with their stream. They have like a T1, like you can't, like they can't go off air, right? And their viewership, they show the graph, and it's every time it hits 29,000. They would just lose like 8,000 or 9,000 viewers. And it just like, it's just this wave like that over and over again. So like their live viewership was absolutely being throttled and people were being thrown off while they were doing the show. So instead of like just pulling it down, they just throttled the hell out of it. But well, it's crystal clear. That's what happened.
I don't know if you've ever noticed so every time I go to try to build the YouTube page and I like really start pushing for subscriptions, like, hey, subscribe to the page. We'll go up like 100 subscriptions. And then I'll come back and the next day we'll be down 50. It happens all the time, dude. Constantly. They like unsubscribe people from the YouTube channel all the time, dude. Constantly.
Yep.
Happens all the time.
And dude, Luke Radowski's on his We Are Change on YouTube. This is the whole reason we signed the deal with Rumble, is because he got up to like 850,000 subscribers. And he's like, he is pumping content, dude. Every single day he's putting out shorts. He has stuff that goes viral. It does not matter. He is bleeding subscribers every single month, no matter how much we put out, no matter how well it does. It is just crystal clear that like that's what YouTube is doing, because they've kicked so many people off, and they've created these competitors and Rumble and X live streaming and stuff like that. Instead of banning people outright, I think that's what they're doing. They're just trying to throttle it as best they can without people really noticing. But if you're paying attention, you can see it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it with our show.
And this YouTube.
It's
so
unusual to bleed subscribers like that without like some sort of major public controversy, or unless your viewership is like dramatically disproportionately low compared to your subscribership.
It happens, dude. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen on our page repeatedly over the last since I started the show in 2021, March of 2021.
Yeah, and ours.
People will message me periodically and say, "Dude, I just so you know, big fan of Liberty Lockdown. I looked on YouTube and I had been unsubscribed. Yep. So it happens to all of
all
us
all the time, constantly, dude.
Whoa. And our viewership lines up pretty well with what you would expect from subscribers. You only expect to get 10 to 20% of your subscribers to watch video.
I had to queue on Shaman on Liberty Lockdown in like August, and they struck me November 30th for that interview, saying that we advocated for violence. And I asked for a timestamp. They wouldn't provide it. And I had to basically take a month off from streaming there, just because I can't risk, you know, catching another strike, in which case I'm like gone for 90 days or however long it is. So I just had to take a full month off. But this is the reason they do that, though, is that there's not a chance you could watch that interview with Jacob Chansley and come away thinking that we advocated for violence. We ended it with a guided meditation for 10 minutes. And we were just talking about, love and peace. And like, that was, you know, he's like a hippie, you know? But that was the claim. But the reason they do that, for audience that doesn't understand this stuff, the reason they do that is because once you're like doing well, I was starting to do 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, sometimes way more than that, viewers per episode. And if they make it so that you can't put out any content for a month, then the algorithms dump you, and all of your subscribers, they won't even see you when you put stuff out. So it just puts you back at the bottom of the totem pole. As soon as I build it back up, I'll have some other controversial guest on. They'll strike me again. Then I have to, you know, wait and build back up. It's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I've seen that happen to us several times too. Yeah. I mean, there was a time when this channel was doing really well, like really, really well. And then all of a sudden we went from 1,000 views a show to 100 views a show. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense at all.
The algorithm is a fickle mistress, unless if you're pretty consistently pumping things out with interesting titles and thumbnails.
Yeah, but that's why they strike you, though, because that prevents you from putting it out consistently.
I've never had a strike. I've had videos demonetized, but I've never had a strike. And in fact, sometimes when my videos, every time one of my videos gets demonetized, I ask for a redo. And a lot of the times they make it monetized again. So
I've never received a demonetization. I have only received strikes.
That's weird.
They have never given me warnings. Nothing.
That's super bizarre.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is weird. I've never gotten a strike.
They anvil me every single time because I'm like I am interviewing people that are like putting out stories they really do not want the public to hear.
Yeah, you've had a lot bigger guests on than, well, especially recently. I used to have a lot bigger guests on. Mm-hmm. I've had people on that won the NBA finals, bro. You know what I mean? Like, so I've had some big guests on too. Of course, actors and stuff like that too. But we do want to start. We're going to start getting guests back on, and Clint's just the start of that. But he's a big guest in my heart.
We love Clint.
Thanks. You're welcome. What?
We love Clint over
here. I love Clint. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan. So what else we got? We got some, what else were we going to go on?
We got to talk about Superman flying over.
Yeah, Superman. What was the other thing?
And then the school shooting.
Oh, we got to talk about the school shooting today. Oh,
mm-hmm. Okay. Unpopular opinion?
Yes.
Awesome. That dude that jumped over the podium to get after the judge. Fucking,
I did not think that was going to be about the guy jumping over the podium.
I know. I thought we brought up the Iowa school shooting, and Clint's like, by the way,
popular opinion,
off of based.
Oh my god!
I didn't hear that part. I was trying to you know jump in to talk about the dude that jumped over.
We're clipping that, Clint. It's going out, dude. Well, yeah, we got to talk about the Iowa school shooting. He's like, just by the way, controversial opinion. Awesome. Fucking awesome.
Clint's big fan of the trans community when they totally lose their shit. I love that shit. It's fucking awesome. That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
I don't know. Clint's referring to Black Superman that flew over.
Black's behaving badly.
A judge's desk. Kind of a John Cena sort of a spear move.
From the top rope, almost.
It was Rey Mysterio.
That was a Rey Mysterio.
Because it was like. It was so cool. Whether or not he deserved to be put in prison, I feel like if you demonstrate that level of athleticism, you get to walk. That's the new rule.
Okay, but that my point was, look what he was capable of with just a little bit of motivation. Right? Just a little
You're
bit of motivation.
Me that guy can't get his life together and, no, I don't know,
listen,
start get for the
Get that
Lions.
Guy in the
He's
cool
motivated. He's probably smoking himself silly. He's not going to work. He's neglecting his responsibilities, but you give him a little bit of motivation. And hey, man, what'd she say? She said, I want you to taste something different.
Yeah.
I think he might have interpreted that a little differently than maybe.
And he was like, taste these fists, woman. Yeah,
I think she insulted his masculinity.
Yeah.
And in that community, you fly over a desk at someone for that.
Go ahead.
I don't think I'm overstating it to say that's one of the most athletic things I've ever seen in my life.
I will say, look, that you guys got to understand that's like a 6-foot desk too.
Yes,
like it's only enough for the heads of the lawyers to come right over it to talk. Like when the judge calls the lawyers over to talk in confidence or whatever. Yeah. Like there's only enough for the heads to go over. So that was like a 6-foot up, and he got his whole body straight over it. This guy should have played college football.
Was he a high jumper in high school?
That's what I'm saying, dude. He literally could have done the high jump. He could have been in the Olympics. Factor. He could have done so many things, but he chose a life of crime. unfortunate.
Do we know what he was on probation for?
Yes. Burglary. Let's see. There was like multiple DVs, the domestic violence. The
lot. Shocking.
No, I can't believe that.
Like, yeah, it's totally shocking that that happened.
Level zero with my $5 super chat. Thank you. No white guy would have made that horizontal leap.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Tim Tebow could have done it. Tebow could have.
Tebow couldn't have done that.
Check his piss.
Ronwell, thanks for the $10 super chat. They said, Josh and Clint, I'm excited to share that I'm meeting my favorite child actor in person in New Mexico from Illinois on January 20th. I hope Clint knows what I'm talking about. I hope you two can wish me good luck on that. Good luck on that, Ronwell. Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, he's Julian Hilliard, I think, is his like favorite actor. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know who that is,
but I'm super happy for him though.
Yeah, good luck. Seriously, good luck. That was a serious vertical, dude. That was you should have been playing some kind of college sport for sure, because nobody makes a 6-foot vertical Superman style like that without touching. I mean, didn't even touch the desk.
That's like how Walter Payton used to leap over the pile.
Yeah. I only know one white guy right now in the NFL that could do that, and that's Jake Ferguson, the tight end from the Dallas Cowboys. He's the only one I know that could leap like that.
Christian McCaffrey probably could.
Yeah, McCaffrey could probably do it, I guess. Yeah, McCaffrey.
He's a total freak too. But we he's know, like 5'4".
Yeah, but I think McCaffrey's halfway part of the black.
McCaffrey's like 5'11", 205.
And I'm
exaggerating, but he's just very tiny compared to the rest of the team.
The viral clip shows the athletic maneuver, of course, but then cuts off. There's a 12-minute video.
There's a much longer video.
I'll post it later.
The funniest part to me is that the court reporter sitting next to the judge gets up and starts punching the guy.
Yeah, that's
and every punch makes zero noise.
That zero noise.
You can hear him though. You can hear him go.
He's like making noise. Great. He's making noises, but his punches. He's like throwing hammer fists, and they're not making a single.
It was
sound.
So frustrating to watch. And because, There's a partition in the 12-minute video.
You've hit people with hammer fists before.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking loud.
Oh, yeah.
They're loud.
I don't know where the mics were positioned, truthfully, because that partition,
bro, the
full video.
Close enough that we can hear him squeal as he was
making the same noise
I
imagined.
The judge was yelling. I think the judge was screaming. You couldn't hear her. It was like, it was kind of positioned maybe
where the
witness would be.
I hear her saying, get him off me. You can hear that. And you could hear the guy that's punching down on the perpetrator going, eh, eh.
No, he's making, doing nothing.
He's basically making the noise I think I imagine that Nick Starwark was making when he was trying to chop down the cherry tree in the flip flops. You know what I mean? He's like,
It was the pretty sound true. After he got, it was pitiful. He made after he got assaulted at the national convention.
Yeah, that too, when he got fake assaulted at the national convention.
Sorry for the hard transition, but speaking of transition, I have not looked into the Iowa school shooting. Did anyone die?
Yes.
One person did.
One person died. I think there's some conflicting reports on that, though, because one you were saying that you heard it was one of the sixth graders.
The Des Moines Register reported that it was a sixth grader.
A sixth grader passed away.
But I've heard several reports that it was the principal of the school.
No, I heard that early, too. The principal was injured, and they're not releasing who's in critical condition. But this afternoon, they had a press release and press conference with Parizik, and I think they talked about the sixth grader that passed away and then four other people, one of whom was in critical condition.
Right.
And then the other three were like non-life-threatening injuries. So I think the principal was the target. This is just me talking. This is my opinion. I think the principal might have been the target, and so was the critical condition. And then it was a shotgun used. So I think there was
with
a spread.
Shot. Yeah,
Birdshot, or even if it's at distance with buck. But I think the people that were injured were maybe standing next to the principal. That's just my interpretation.
So I'll say this. So this is what I've read and what I've heard about it so far. It's in Perry. First of all, Perry's 40 miles north of where we are right now.
West.
Yeah.
West or
northwest.
Yeah.
Northwest of where we are right now. 40 miles away. Binary gender fluid shooter.
Yeah.
Okay. After shooting, made a video on TikTok that said, "Now we wait."
That was before.
That was before.
They were in the bathroom stall waiting to commit it.
Okay.
And then
maybe supposedly a sixth grader was killed.
Yeah.
Perpetrator started the shotgun when they were done.
Yeah.
Good. what is going on? This is okay. So once again, I want to make this very clear. The trans community has killed more white Christian people in America in the last 2 years than any white Christian people have killed trans people. I want to make that clear again. I made that point on Twitter last year. Okay. These are people who keep talking about this trans genocide that's happening because of the Christian whites. But the truth is that trans and gender minorities have killed more white Christian people in the last 2 years now, 2023 and 2024, than any white Christian person has killed trans people.
The trans genocide is largely self-inflicted. Okay.
Well, yeah.
It's largely a suicide problem.
Yeah.
And then the next lump on that scale is minority trans people murdered by other minority people.
Always other minority. Like 92% of the time.
That's the next lump.
Yeah.
The lump that they keep talking about.
And the reality is because there's so many of them are prostitutes too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah. This is, I mean,
which is a very dangerous profession. If you're going to be a streetwalker, trans or not, it's a very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, I think sex worker is like one of the most dangerous jobs as far as violence goes in the world.
If you want to stop the trans genocide, go ahead.
I'm gonna push back on the. I would caution you guys, even though the point you're making is valid. I would caution you about talking in the community language. And I know you're doing it because it's the framing that they function in, but I think it's a huge mistake for us to take that on and start to view each other as like the trans community, the black community. Like that's all fucking critical race theory, woke nonsense that like, I hate to even think in that way.
I understand.
It's me.
That's me with kid gloves over here. Trying not to get a strike on my friend's show.
Back to him, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? That's how I roll.
Yeah.
I know why you're doing it. I'm just saying it's a mind virus. And even if you're doing it for the right reasons, it still will, it'll start to get you thinking that way. Like I've seen this with, people that are very upset about what's happening in Gaza. You know, they start to talk about the Jewish community and it's like, no, bro, lots of Jewish people in America that fucking absolutely hate all of this. So I just hate it when we start to like the collectivization worldview is just fucked up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which doesn't help because then somebody that's trans that fucking hates this just like us, they go to speak out and then they go, why are you speaking out against our community? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's keeping
and
them
then
in check.
With like this particular person, it just seems like they were an outcast and the gender stuff was a convenient shield.
Good point.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
And just
we don't know if
just some way to try and garner positive attention or deflect negative attention, which as someone that was borderline an outcast, like in high school, I was friendly with the outcasts. That this is something that they would do. They would latch onto an identity or something that would attract negative attention that they were going to get anyway, but it directed it so they wouldn't get the negative attention about things they're actually insecure about.
Okay. When Josh and I were growing up, it was the goths. Like that's what, to a large extent, I think that's the same phenomenon.
And then the emos.
Well, no, listen, what Ryan said about the trans thing, but this kid was a weeb. Weeb, right?
Weeb, weeb.
There's an anime angle here too that nobody's talking about. Where
I've been saying for decades that if you watch anime, you will eventually kill somebody.
There's an anime character. Was it Trigger
that's,
Happy?
We could talk about the anime community. I think as a whole.
Yeah, anime community as a whole. No, but I'm
here,
just saying,
here's the thing.
They're not. They're saying
before
trans,
the
not
gender
weeb,
stuff.
They could easily say this is the weeb community.
Before the gender stuff, when I was in high school, it was the weebs. Weebs were the weebs and video game players. They were the convenient outcasts.
The weeb thing is weird to me because there's so many leftists that are weebs, but there's also like hardcore, like national socialist, right? Like people too.
Yeah.
That are like hardcore weebs too. So like the whole weeb, like really the weeb community as a whole, and I'm going to use it as a whole, are just probably mostly shit people. I'm sorry.
I'm just old enough that
I think Guy Squiggs is in the chat.
That was a weeb.
I gotta pull
up what a weeb is.
When I was a kid,
it's like,
so like Japanese
anime,
culture.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. They're down with Japanese culture.
When I was a kid, they take it a step further, and they're like, yeah, they're like, they like worship Japanese culture.
So a weeb,
I'm gonna pull up this character's name.
Yeah, when I was
a weeb is someone that
love Japanese culture,
that is obsessed with Japanese culture and believes that they know Japanese culture simply from consuming Japanese media.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. When I was a kid, there was like a couple of like really good animes. There was like Ninja Scrolls and Akira. And then like further on down the road, there was Blood. And those are the only ones I've ever watched that I ever gave a shit to really watch. But like when I was a kid, anime was like The Hobbit, dude. You know what I mean? Like the cartoon version of The Hobbit. That was the anime we watched. You know what I mean?
Ninja Scroll was great, but that's about the only one I've ever watched.
Oh, hell yeah. Ninja Scroll was good.
Tyler Yonke, thanks for the $10 super chat. He said, junkie-induced athleticism is fun to watch. True. And he works in courtrooms, so he would know.
Yeah, the character is Trigger Happy Havoc. It's a game. And I had a Telegram link like 3 hours after this happened. I think it's called Justice Report on Telegram. And in this post, they mentioned this Trigger Happy Havoc character. And I almost thought, you know, are we looking at this from a different angle? Is this a weeb that's trying to live out a fantasy as a character?
Okay,
like, I'm gonna go blow all these people away that I hate because I'm this character.
I can help
now.
Elaborate on that angle. Danganronpa is a series about
what it is. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what it is.
It's a series about like death games.
Yeah,
where it's almost like Big Brother, but everybody votes to kill somebody at the end, and it's a series of visual novels that are extremely popular, and almost everyone that I know of that's a super fan of Danganronpa is super left wing.
Wow, this just really got gay.
Yo.
Yeah. Okay, right. Like the people that are like this, super right wing, they're always a fan of like battle
you're
anime.
You're up the podcast real bad right now, dude. Like, oh,
yeah.
Bad.
I just watched Squid Game, the reality version of it. And all I've wanted to do is like basically do like American Gladiators, but like where everybody dies at the end. Like, so I get it. I understand.
I just watched the documentary about American Gladiators. Have you seen it yet? It's like what is it called? It's on Netflix.
No, I'll watch
it. Thumping and Muscle, and it's like a 5-part docuseries about the behind the scenes of the American Gladiators. And it was fucking wild, dude. Like, wild. They were all like 23, 24, 25 year old.
Jacked.
All on steroids.
Drugs.
As you do you remember when they did American Gladiators tour? They did like the live, like they did like a 90 shows around the country or something.
Oh,
bro,
shit.
Bro, I wanted to go to that so bad.
We all did, dude. It was like the coolest thing since like monster trucks at the Oakland Arena. You know what I mean? I was like, my God.
It was cooler than that.
Yeah, it was cooler because I loved American Gladiators. But like it started out like I don't think I've ever seen the first 13 episodes. It was like a completely different show. All the things they had to do, all the tasks were hella terrible, like super terrible, horrible. They were like, everyone was getting injured. It was all fucked up. And these people, so they were making $5,000 a show, the Gladiators, which ain't shit, by the way. They went on the road. They were all fucking each other, right?
Awesome.
They were all doing drugs. They were all drinking every night and then competing every day.
I believe
they're like,
dude, you know, Saber and Turbo were getting it in.
so Saber is like the original, or no, Gemini was like the original one. Saber didn't come until they got rid of like Laser and Nitro and everybody that were like made the show famous, and then Nitro
Saber
came
didn't
back
come, Saber didn't come until Turbo arrived, if you know what I'm saying.
But it's really crazy to see. If you haven't watched it, it's like Something in Muscle, the unauthorized story of the American Gladiators. And they're all interviewed now today, what they're up to today. And they're actually the ones telling the stories. So it's kind of cool to see, because they're all like fucking 60 now, right? Like they're all old, and like you could see the effects of like long-term steroid use right there.
It's not good.
Just the same as like the WWE's guys. Yeah. Like when you see Jake the Snake and these guys, you're like, holy.
The backs are all fucked up.
Yeah, they can barely walk. Yep. They got canes. They're fucking just.
I'm surprised they're still alive, honestly.
Yeah, dude. I'm just happy. I'm happy I never really got into steroids like that. Like
it's a double sword.
Cycle or two. You know what I mean? But
that's why they're alive.
What?
I think it's why they're alive, and also why they're fucked up. Steroids.
Maybe. I don't know, dude.
Like you survive it, but you're fucked up.
It was a really cool. It was a really cool thing to see as a kid who, you know, it started like 1988. So I was five when it started out. And then the following year, I was six, and it was like the best show in the whole world to me. Like, I wanted to be an American Gladiator so badly. I think I had American Gladiator, like, action figures and everything. Conspiracy Extremist says, Clint, how can us whites even out these numbers? I don't know what that means. Thanks for $2 super chat, though. Do you know what he's talking about, Clint?
I assume he's talking about some sort of racial ethnic purging. Not interested.
I know what he's talking about, but I think if we talked about it, we might get a channel strike. So
fair.
Okay.
Fair. All right. Fair. And then Level Zero has been a member of this channel for 26 months, like since the beginning almost.
Yo, yeah.
And he said apology accepted because that's my homie and he is a weeb.
Yeah. He's a fellow weeb.
But I'll say, okay, we'll say like 3-4% of the weeb community isn't dangerous to society.
I'm not anti-weeb. I'm just pointing out that they tried to paint this school shooter instantly. They saw the gender fluid thing, clamped onto it, and went, there's our clicks. There's our clicks, guys. Let's run with it. And instead of going, let's dig a little deeper. I know it's a developing story, but maybe we should look at this angle of the weebs, the anime. Is the anime
okay? So with the current,
they want to be a character. They want to live a fantasy, right?
With the current generations, like anime is massive. It's mainstream,
right?
Things like Demon Slayer is one of the biggest shows in the United States.
Gay is mainstream too. So
I think it's cartoon, and American cartoons are kind of like,
Americans
family friendly. So they see their kids watching the cartoons, like they're watching cartoons, whatever.
The COVID regime was mainstream too. You know what I mean? Not all good things, not all mainstream things are good, my friend.
I'm not gonna allow you guys to take us down this satanic panic, but like this anime panic version of it. No. I reject your premise entirely.
Like it kind of already had that with like Pokemon in the early 2000s and all of that when Japanese culture started to.
Pokemon's I'm not saying it's anime. It's demonic. I'm
dude,
saying
the first time I saw a Snorlax, I was instantly homicidal.
True, I can see that. I can feel that. We had something else to talk about before we go. What was it?
The jet.
Oh, yeah, you did want
that's kind of out there. Yeah,
what channel that was on? Whose channel?
So
was
it was on Censor TV. Elijah Schaefer is in Australia now.
Why the fuck is he in Australia, by the way? Can anyone tell me?
I think somebody chased him away.
What the fuck did he go there for?
Death threats.
I think he left after January 6th, and you can guess as to why.
Oh, sure. But
yeah, he was in the
of all the places to go, you go to a place that's worse.
I know. He talks shit about it all the time.
It's worse. I love Gillis. Shane Gillis talks about he's like, every time I fly to another country, I get off the plane, the first thing I think is, this is your country? America's definitely the best, dude. I love Shane. He's hilarious, bro. We got to have him on the show. That'd be great.
The story was around that Malaysian air flight in 2014. That disappeared off the radar and they never found it.
They had the teleporting video.
So basically there's a video that came out 72 days after the incident that shows an infrared
on the
satellite
radar.
View,
radar,
which
yeah.
I didn't fucking know this. This scared the shit out of me. The military is watching the Earth at all times
in infrared,
right. Recording it, just so you know. So if you're in a plane flying, they're watching your plane. Kind of cool. So
this is how I know none of you watch Liberty Lockdown, because I interviewed Ashton Forbes, who's responsible for like basically being this entire story. It was an amazing discussion.
Yeah, that's the same guy.
That's the same guy. Yeah,
I had him on the show.
First
and,
of all, Clint, I do watch
I walked
Liberty
away pretty
Lockdown.
Convinced.
I do watch Liberty Lockdown.
Well, in fairness, it was when I was struck from YouTube. So it was Rumble only. But
yeah, I didn't know that.
It did like 20,000 views on Rumble. It was crazy. But the story itself is fascinating. Do you want me to like?
Go ahead. We didn't know we had a specialist
on
the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So after the interview with him, which was like, I don't know, 2 hours, I came away very convinced that it was probably real. Then there was this massive bounty that was put out, like $50,000.
Oh, it's $150K now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was if they would come out with the original footage that was used to doctor it to create the fake. And then some person basically like found the still shots that were on a website there was a lot of controversy over whether or not these still shots of these clouds in the sky were produced and put on the internet either before or after the date that this video was launched on YouTube, so that I don't have a lot of clarity as to whether or not they were. Ashton then went to war trying to prove that the video footage, you can actually see movement in the clouds, which would demonstrate that it's not a still shot. He also, you know, really, he brought in like advanced astrophysicists and shit like that, and was basically making the argument that you'd have to have such an advanced level of understanding of both physics and flight and like everything else to create this, because it's not just one, you know, one reel. It's two that sync up perfectly.
Correct.
So Ashton is still totally convinced that it comes from a satellite as well as a basically like a Reaper drone. And the reason, if he's right, obviously that means that this was an op, because you would not have footage from two different locations of a random plane disappearing. And if he's telling the truth, then there's very, 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 very advanced technology that essentially created a portal and portaled the fucking plane away. And I know I sound like a total lunatic to still think that that's a possibility, but I think it is a possibility.
I'm 100% with you. Is it Elijah's video is about 45 minutes. I don't know how long you went with him, but it was, I'm going to watch yours. I'm going to pull yours up. Is it still on Rumble?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pull it up and watch it tonight. I'm 100% convinced.
When did the Malaysian flight happen? That was 2014?
2014.
Okay. That's around the same time they put out that TV show called Manifest. Have you ever seen that show?
Ashton talked to me about that too. By the way, that interview I had Ashton as well as Ian Crossland. So very fucking interesting discussion.
Oh, I bet, dude. I love Ian. He gets a bad rap, dude, but I fucking love Ian to death, dude. That guy's hilarious.
He's like my favorite part of the show because he says such wild shit.
Yeah, he gets so much shit in the comments, but people watch to see what crazy shit he's gonna say. He's also like,
absolutely.
I came away from Timcast because I've been on Timcast twice now. Not to toot my own horn, it's, you know, it was pretty cool to be on Timcast and be invited back. So I'm happy to do it. But I will say that, you know, I come away from there and a lot of people are like, oh, you were on there with fucking Ian Crossland. I'm like, dude, Ian, like off the show, even like Ian was like the nicest, most down to earth, like sweetheart of a guy that I've ever met.
Yeah.
And like, I hate he gets as much shit that he gets, you know what I mean? Cause he's just a sweet dude.
You liked him so much, you found your own Walmart.
I literally found my own Walmart Ian Crossland for my show and brought Ryan on the show, dude. Legitimately.
Well, Ian actually, he's stayed with Luke for like weeks on end. So we've done a bunch of shows over on Rumble, the best political show. If people want to check that out, he's just such a nice guy. Like it's totally sincere. He's just a fucking really great human being.
Yeah. He's exactly who he is on the show off the air too. And so is Tim for all intents and purposes. Tim's a really nice guy too. Like a lot of people don't like Tim's takes on things, but he's just a really sweet, nice guy too. Down to earth, chill. Like,
and he loves talking about Civil War.
Yeah. Last night on, well, I love that people give him shit for that. It's like, do you think that it's not possible that that's where we're headed? Like,
that's where we're headed, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked a lot about that on the show last night.
It's not Ian.
I talked a lot about it last night. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Last night, Owen Benjamin was saying that he thinks that, that Tim pulled their episode, because he wanted to create controversy to drive subscriptions to timcast.com. He also said that he didn't believe that they had been swatted. I know for a fact, because I've been there. I was on IRL with Ashley St. Clair, and she just said something off the cuff that was like not even that big of a deal. But Tim immediately pulled the episode. He does this not to drive subscriptions to timcast.com. He does it because he knows that like he's on their shit list, and he's trying to keep his channel alive. So total lie. I understand. I love Owen, for the record. He's been on Tower Game a couple times. He's hysterical, but he's totally, totally wrong when it comes to Tim. He has been swatted a shitload of times. He does pull the episodes down for very legitimate reasons. People that think that he's being treated well by YouTube are out of their minds. It's totally the opposite. It's very frustrating to me that people, like, just because they don't like his opinions, they assume he's like some paid shill or something.
Well, I said last week I started talking a little bit about the Civil War, and Jay Thoreau says it in the chat. He said Bitcoin is the real Civil War. Joshua Smith last week. It's not just that, though. The real Civil War is, and we talked a lot about this last week, but it is Bitcoin. It is alternative currencies. The Civil War is the ability to buy a $300 3D printer and print your own weapons. It's not just going to war with the U.S. Army
as a citizen. It's all of these alternative markets and opting out of the federal government fiat bullshit. I mean, that's really what it is. And that's, you know, it's already started. So like when people are like, oh, there's no civil war is going to happen. I'm like, dude, it happened. It started 15 years ago. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It may not be violent.
All the political prisoners? What about all the political prisoners from J6?
Exactly.
I
mean,
it's not hot. Thank goodness. But it's certainly, we're kind of in a cold civil war is what it feels like.
Yeah. It's not a hot war.
As what I, like what I said last week, feel the dynamite and each one of these things is a match being lit and being dropped on the floor. One of these times it's going to explode. Could be tomorrow. It could be 30 years from now. Who knows?
Did he say that last week? I don't remember saying
I
that.
I did.
Week,
you?
Yes.
Yes.
I must have pulled that from
What If Alt Hist, who is one of my favorite content creators.
Who?
What If Alt Hist.
Oh, I don't know.
He's one of my favorite content creators out there.
Your favorite rapper is XXXTentacion, yeah, dude. So I take everything you say with a grain of salt.
I've been trying to.
Do you see Clint when I said that?
he had Mike Termat
on his podcast.
That's
one of the biggest things I've ever heard.
Yes, I know. We give him a lot of shit for that here. Go ahead, Ryan.
He had Mike Termat on his podcast, and I've been chilling to try and get you on there as well. But just
Tomat's
coming on the show on the 14th.
He's one of the smartest people I've witnessed in my life. He's like 23.
No,
What If Alt Hist, Rudyard is his name. But he's like 23. The list of books he has read is several thousand long, and they're not
impressed.
Me neither. I've read thousands of books too.
At 23?
Probably close.
And they're
I had read every book by the time I was 20.
Well, here.
Every book.
Here, hold on.
Every book. Clint, name every book.
You guys may not know this about me. I've talked about it on the show before, but I spent a lot of time in juvenile hall as a kid. Like a lot of time. In fact, one time I was there for 14 months straight. And so
that's a lot of books.
I read a lot of fucking books, dude. Yeah. Like a book every 3 days for a year, pretty much. So I've read a lot of books, dude. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go ahead.
But if you ever hear me like pull out a weird book that I'm reading, like right now I'm reading The Managerial Revolution, almost always it's a recommendation from What If Alt Hist.
Cool.
I'll send you guys some of his stuff. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Sounds like you're deep in the alt-right pipeline. I respect it.
He's on his way. All right, guys. Well, we're getting to the end of this thing, man. Clint, we appreciate you, dude. I love you to death. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Where can people find you, support you, listen to you, all that good stuff? What do you got coming up?
Yeah, well, since you have all these donors, libertylockdown.locals.com if anybody wants to support my work, or if you want to subscribe on X. I got like a little over 100 subscribers there, so I do really appreciate that. It's only $5 a month, and I'll try and put out a few of my episodes to my subscribers without ads and shit like that. So that's kind of the perk benefit. On Locals, I'll periodically do like AMAs and just have people come on stream with me so we can shoot the shit for a while. Dave Smith is on Liberty Lockdown on Saturday. Tom Woods is on The Best Political Show on Sunday. And I will be doing live shows with Vivek and Luke sometime, probably multiple times next week in Iowa. And then I should be on IRL either Thursday or Friday. I don't know who the guest is going to be. It might be Laura Loomer, in which case, fucking strap your dicks to your knees because it's going to be fireworks.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. Please do.
And yeah, and that's, I mean, bunch of fucking incredible guests are coming through. We got James O'Keefe is going to be in studio. We got a ton. I won't even give the list, but people should definitely, if you're an audio listener, pick up your phone right now and go to Liberty Lockdown in your podcaster and hit subscribe, and then go to The Best Political Show and hit subscribe. That's it.
And do that for Break the Cycle too. If you're here watching the show, hit that subscribe button. Come on, dude. I'm not even trying to get your money. I'll take your money. We got a Patreon. Mm-hmm. We got a Subscribe Star. We have all that stuff, but I just want you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We just need to build this thing back up, dude. All I want. So just hit subscribe. And then go and give your money to Clint, because Clint's doing much bigger things than we are right now. But then once we're bigger, come back and give us your money too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do got some super chats here. Quest Fanning, $5 super chat. He says, good evening. And then Quest Fanning again with the $10 super chat. He's wonderful to see two of my favorite folks tonight, but I've had seven of my top 12 on Timcast, and he always underwrites underutilizes talent. I don't know what that
means. He means underutilizes.
That's what I thought, but I was like, I thought maybe it was a word that I was too dumb to understand for a second, so I was going to read it out.
But I thought you've read thousands of books.
I have.
I wouldn't think that list would be long. Hey,
listen, I know a lot of really dumb people that have read a lot of fucking books, bro. Like a lot of books that are just absolute retards. And so, like,
I'm the opposite. I'm a genius, but I'm actually totally illiterate. So it's weird.
Oh, I had like a super look. I was in the sixth grade. I had a college reading level. Like, I've always been a very good reader. I understand what I'm reading very well. That does not mean I'm like the smartest guy in any room. I promise you, it doesn't. Because there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, dude, I remember what they're talking about from that book that I read back in fucking eighth grade, right? But I can't remember a thing. I have ADHD really bad too, right? So I'm like, I can't remember a fucking thing other about that book at all, except for the fact that I know I read what they're talking about. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I have all this ammo in the brain. I can't always fire it, man.
I have that all the time. I probably average 3 to 4 hours of information that I take in every single day. And so I can't ever pinpoint where I got the information from, because it's just a constant stream in.
Yeah. Same, dude. That's
people will like give me shit if I don't cite them when I'm talking about it on my shows, but like, I'm sorry, bro. I read, you know, content from 1,000 people today, so I don't know where I got it.
Yeah, that too, dude. I watch a lot. I used to watch a lot of shows too. I watch very few now. I watch, occasionally I watch Liberty Lockdown. Occasionally I watch Dave, but I don't watch a lot of shows like I used to, dude. I have to like pick and choose just because I'm so, what I mean? So like,
I never watch. I only listen. Yeah. I just don't have the time.
Oh, I can't listen, dude. I'm probably one of the very few people who actually enjoys watching like the video. Like, I have to watch and I think that has a lot to do with my ADHD too, because I put my headphones on and then I get sidetracked with other shit. And I will have listened to an hour long podcast and have no idea what was if I watch the video and see the mouth moving, like I can pay attention.
And for me, if I sit down and try and pay attention, it's and like just watch, it's not going to work. I have to be doing other shit. I get most of my reading done while I'm driving my car or walking my dog.
That makes sense.
See, I'm driving it. I'm spoiled. I drive at work.
Yeah.
So I'm a Censored TV subscriber. I'm a baby monster.
Well, see, at my job, I'm able to watch my phone.
Yep.
So that's what I do when I watch shows at work.
Well, I'm not watching it while I'm driving. I'm listening to
You're listening.
Maybe I'm glancing. Yeah. I'll admit I glance.
You're a real piece of shit, bro.
You're a real piece of shit, dude.
Sorry, dude.
Ryan, you got anything before we take off?
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. I am two away from 350 followers.
Dang, dude. You're killing
I know. It. I know. I'm killing. I mean, I was at 86 when I joined the show.
That's right.
So.
You're more than triple.
I will not be number 349.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's because you'll be number 350, because somebody's going to beat you two following.
Uh-uh.
Nope.
573, Ryan.
You got
573. Yeah.
You at 573? You were at like 220 when you started on the show. So
yeah,
you're getting up there.
Buddy. I've started to play the game a little bit more. I'm quote tweeting more things and dunking on things.
The real game is not having to quote tweet things all the time, because you can come up with your own fucking statuses, Ryan.
Bro, I had 190 followers on Twitter in 2019.
I remember
I'm at 116,000 today. So you can make it happen, brother.
I remember that. Yeah,
I've had Twitter for 10 years now.
I've been on Twitter since 2017.
I really haven't like tried to grow it all that much.
I'm at 27
every year. It's doubled.
I created my account 2009, but I didn't get on there until 2019.
Yeah, that's so I created mine in 2017. I don't think I actually got on there until Facebook kicked me off in like 2021, and then I got on there.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, this is fun. I was like, oh, this is the war zone. This is where I can tag the president of the United States of America and talk all the shit I want. Okay, cool. Yeah. And then I got kicked off of Twitter once I realized that you can't talk all the shit you want. and then Elon brought me back a year later, and I was like, oh, I could talk all the shit I want again. And I haven't had any issues since, dude. So
after you wrote him a letter every day, for
I did.
A year.
I wrote a review. To Twitter for 369 days before they finally, every single day I disputed it for.
It works, folks. You just got to try.
Got to keep going. Never give up on your dreams, guys. Never give up on your dreams. Hey, AJ, you got anything before we take off?
Bring back Jared Taylor.
Oh, Jesus.
Bring back Jared Taylor to Twitter. slash X.
Yeah.
Dude, we're so close. You are in the alt-right pipeline, huh?
That is.
He's well, like, why wouldn't you bring him back?
He's like a white nationalist, I believe.
He's a separatist. Wrong with what he says.
He's no doubt he's a white separatist.
You've just got to listen to what he's saying. Yeah.
He makes a good point.
Why are you doing a Jerry Seinfeld voice?
That's Jared Taylor, bro.
No, he grew up in Japan.
What's the deal with airplane food?
No, he's a white guy that grew up in Japan.
What's the deal with black people?
The problem with white people is that...
Yeah, no, he's Jared Taylor has made some really, really good points.
Listen, if you listen to something and you think it's offensive, on Twitter, let me know what it was.
Yeah.
Give me the sentence. We're offended by.
Yeah. Who's the guy that wrote the bell curve? Who was that? Clint's out of here. Yeah. All right, Clint, we love you to death, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Bye, Clint. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you, buddy.
Miss you already.
Bye. AJ, got anything before we take off, dude? Besides Jared Taylor?
Besides Jared Taylor, follow me on X, or AKA Twitter, poison_tip. And I'm white.
Guys, we'll see you next week. I may do a show on Tuesday. I'm not sure. We'll see if these guys can make it. If not, I might do it alone. But we'll definitely be back on Thursday. We're going to have some bigger, more guests like Clint come into the studio. I think it'd be nice to have Clint come in the studio. I know Mike Termott will be in the studio in a couple weeks, too. And depending on his schedule, I may do the show with just me and him, or these guys may be there. I don't know. And we're going to try really hard to get Tim Kasten and Clint to come to the studio and do a show with us, though. That'd be a lot of fun. Guys, I love you to death. I will see you next week. Until then, don't forget to break cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain, but I just banned it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just banned it in Minecraft. But Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just banned it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. No product finished, cause you're close to COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm...